Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is Mr. John Stout. The number to call, 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Now, as I said, I wanted to start with a feel-good story, and I have two very quickly. I want to commend, I believe his name is Rory Watkins. And if it's not Rory Watkins, it's Roby Babb, because I saw two names on social media with a person who had a son who was a patient at the QEH. And Rory is an orderly at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, and he got kudos for just being kind and stepping up. And we want more of that, not only at the QEH, but right across the board in terms of how we treat people. So Rory Watkins, and I believe that's your name, your face is all over social media. People are thanking you. And I personally here on Brass Tacks, I wanted to thank you too for being kind. And I'm sure it costs you nothing to be kind to that patient and the mother. And I'm sure that also helped with the patient care and recovery that is needed when you hear those kind words. In addition to that, Tanya Clark, funny enough, I was at KFC drive-thru yesterday, and I remember buying a particular thing, and when I got home, there were supposed to be four biscuits in it, and leaving Christchurch to go all the way to St. Philip and recognizing you don't have your biscuits, well, you know. But anyway, I went back just to buy it again, and I just said at the drive-thru window that this is what happened last week, just mentioning it. And she said, oh, that's not a problem. We're going to give them back to you. And I thought it was really kind of her, because normally for some places, they'll ask you for a receipt or why didn't you report it right away? It wasn't that. And the way she spoke to me, if I could buy all of the chicken right there and then, I would have, because she was so kind and so helpful. So I wanted to say kudos to you, to Tanya Clark, yesterday at KFC drive-thru window in Christchurch. Now, what's on my mind? Two things. We spoke a lot about the protocols of wearing a mask and the flights yesterday. I listened to some of the contributions and I had some really good contributions yesterday, I might add, some new callers. And the situation with Drake, and let me just say, if you're listening, welcome to Barbados, even though I'm sure you are hearing a lot of negative things. It's not directly at you, but I believe it's at the policy where people are a little bit confused. And I'm hoping that before 2 o'clock today, I heard Mr. Ellis making a plea for the Tsar to come out and say something. And I'm hoping that he would today via this program. Mr. Ellis also mentioned about press releases, and as a journalist, they don't normally believe them, but I'm not a journalist. I'm on the side of the person who issues a press release, and I can say to you that you can't put everything in a press release. However, it is the duty of the journalist to question all press releases that come out, because you can't cover everything. But my question to the government and to the Tsar would be today about what we consider low-risk and medium-risk areas. And we know they're hot spots, but just remember that low risk, medium risk does not mean no risk. And if they're comfortable with accepting negative COVID tests before travel from a low risk area for persons then to go out and mingle, or is this something that they can review? And in keeping with the high-risk areas, because a risk is a risk. And if persons actually get out there into the crowds, as we would have seen a couple of nights ago when we saw Drake socializing, we just wanted to know if there's one set of rules for one and for the other. That was cleared up by stating that all persons on this particular flight from Canada, they were all treated the same. However, the one the week before, which was from the United States, which I can understand is a hot spot, that was treated differently. However, again, I would stress the fact that medium, low risk does not mean no risk. And if it is that the government can legislate a curfew, which they did, do we now have to look at legislating quarantine? Because We cannot sometimes leave it up to individuals to exercise good judgment. If that be the case, the government would never have issued a curfew and legislated it, because then they would have left it up to everyone to exercise good judgment, and they did not. My thing is that you are more at risk of spreading this horrible virus if you are on quarantine and you come out versus the curfew and you come out. So if you can legislate that, would you consider, or are you considering legislating the quarantine, making sure that people stay put? If you ask them to self-quarantine, do you realistically think that they're going to exercise good judgment and stay home? Because some people, and we know this for a fact, they're not doing that. In addition, one of the other things on my mind today would be that of the workers that have been laid off at the hotels. And I'm talking about the cooks, housekeeping, bartenders, the staff that right now they're hoping for the country to open back. So they're obviously waiting to welcome visitors, obviously in a safe way. But we know that we're not going to get the amount of visitors now because we don't have any crop over. So what's happening with these guys? And I want to hear from them today, because truthfully, they've been on my mind this morning because I received a call from a young lady, said that she got a little job at a private home, and the money she got, by the time she paid the bus fare, it really wasn't anything much. Now, don't get me wrong, the person was grateful for the half of the loaf, but what they recognize is that persons may be taking advantage of people now in those sectors where some private homes may be looking for housekeepers, and they're trying to give them next to nothing, but asking them to cook, press, and clean. Then when they have to pay two or three bus fares, or some cases four, they need the job, but they're taking advantage, from what I understand this morning, might have been the case with this individual. So it will be good to hear from persons in these sectors and for us to share ideas how we can recreate ourselves and get jobs. For example, is there a group for domestic workers? And I don't mean the ones that work at the hotels. People who work for private people, gardeners, cooks, and housekeepers. Is there a group that you have, or can you look at that, where you have groups for taxis and PSVs and so on and so forth, and they come together to let their voices be heard? I think that you may need to look at that so that when situations occur and you feel that you've been treated unfairly by one of your employers in a private home, that you have a group that you can share your experience and then bring it to us here, bring it to the labor office, etc. But throughout the program, there's some ideas I want to share with you, with the taxi guys, with the guys who do maintenance and maintenance at hotels. There are ways and means that you can recreate yourself and set up your small businesses. So hopefully we can get that out throughout the course of the program. It's now 9 minutes after 10. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Miss?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm trying to survive.
Okay.
Still in St. Thomas enjoying myself.
You're in St. Thomas enjoying yourself? You're in the best parish.
Yeah. Now, I want to deal with three topics, but are you a lover of breadfruit?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, it is unfortunate that I have to mention this, but before I do this, I must extend condolences to the young lady who lost her son on her way, on his way picking a breadfruit.
Oh,
now,
yes.
About 43 years ago, a young lady lost her life the same way in St. Joseph, as a matter of fact, in the place near Dark Hole or St. Sylvan Village, trying to pick a breadfruit. Do you have an idea of where the breadfruit came from or how it got here?
No. I'd have to ask Dr. Charleston Brathwaite for that when he's the tree connoisseur.
Yeah, well, the breadfruit came here on a ship near the Bounty, captain by a man by the name of Captain Blake. The breadfruit was brought here as a dish or a subsidy to help support the slaves as food. So I am wondering if all of these historians know were cut down these by fruit trees that was brought here to feed the slaves. That just by passing.
Okay, well, let's just...
Because it ended up not today. And I can remember at the hard times in my growing up in St. Joseph, when the crop season is finished, just like the hotel season, no people out of work. A lot of us depend on picking breadfruit as a subsidy to help maintain a dish to keep the family going. So what I want you to understand, it was brought here during the slave trade, and it is serving its purpose, though. You get where I'm coming from?
Yes.
Good. Now, I want to make mention here of a statement that was made by Aaron Barr. What mirror image does he have of herself? Because we're hearing a lot about black and Black Lives Matter. In any country, you cannot have a comfortable country unless justice is being handed down in an appropriate time to the people. Justice delayed.
Justice denied.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the courts and all the institutions that control justice, all black people in this country have been denied. And it's taken for a right, like we are or like we are in a player park. They are not serious, black people are not serious of delivering justice to the people on time. And until we correct that, we are not going anywhere. Now, a sliding long fire so that other people could get it. Now, why do you think that we went into independence? Diane?
I'm listening to you. You tell me why you think anybody goes into independence.
I believe after Grant Lee, after the adult suffrage, we tried to give the black people an opportunity to form our own destiny by legislating, getting the power to go to parliament, and make laws that should be benefiting the working class, because the majority of politicians in those days came from the working class and came from a working community like your mom. Mm-hmm. Most of them were shopkeepers who understand the plight. The only thing, they used to sell goods, rice, flour, and such like. And they became the burden bearer of the poor people after the crop season by trusting the goods. We had a man in St. George by the name of Lloyd Smith, who did everything in his power to help the poor people in St. George's, and he was not recognized up to this day. From the funeral service he had, baker shop, grocery shop. Some people did not even know where to get the first cent to bury the dead, and he took on that challenge. Now, I'm going straight on to the private and the private sector and government. When you talk about private sector, and the reason why the late Arbar introduced the university, because the colonialists help us with education to do the civil work, like clerks and such like. But we went a little further by having the education at the university, where most people, as you question them and you ask what they're studying, they're either studying accounts, social studies, everything that matters to help run a government. Why it is that in today's world, the same thing that the great Earl Warren Barr, father of independence, fought for, by buying the first plantation or factory with Hyatt, and he started buying assets in order to employ black people. He built the Hilton so that black people could manage the Hilton. And you can tell me that politician that today is more educated than those yesterday and the electorate yesterday could take the government assets and tell you the best person now to run the government is the private sector. We are going back 100 years of the development of what that man Barr did, and Grant Lee Adams did. How come that all of a sudden the private sector could run this country better than the government when you have educated people coming out of the university that are going to be hired by the same private sector and the government can't hire the same people to run the country? Tell me what you say about that.
Oh, no, I'm listening to you. I have no comment on that.
Okay, well, that is all I have to say, because I want all black people to wake up and find out that When I was growing up, and I can finish on that, when I was growing up, and I go around political platforms, I used to hear the attack on the private sector. Today, the private sector is under the wings of the government. And the government is not doing, not only this government, they are not doing anything to put the working class people at a position where they can lead. They take, I hear this morning, the Minister of Tourism will take in the airport and gain it to the private sector. It means we are so dumb that none of our people could be educated because the private sector runs off of money.
I got to cut it right there so I can respond to you because we do have to take a break. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Now, I want to speak concerning this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hear people complaining about trade and so on. Yes, I didn't hear much of the program, but that was one of the concerns being expressed by the callers. Now, I don't know if you're observing what I'm saying, but I would like you, at any opportunity you get, to pay some attention to the PSV's operators. And you will see what is happening within that sector. I have noticed now that both the drivers and the conductors are not following the protocol. They are not wearing masks. And apart from that, they allow passengers to get aboard these vehicles sitting side by side, and no one has masks. I don't have masks either. And speaking about the ones who travel to the north section, I don't know about the southern drivers, but there's what you observe happening on the northern routes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm concerned about that. We got this idea in our head that we should relax all the past protocols that we was doing the last couple of months ago. And I honestly believe that when this pandemic began to raise its heads in this country again, we ourselves, the people of Barbados, would have to blame no one else but ourselves because of the behavior that I am seeing. And I honestly believe that government or the czar need to do something more stringent as far as this matter is concerned. Don't be too late. I don't know what we have to say on that matter.
I totally agree with you in terms of I find the measures, and not because government relaxed them to the extent that we're seeing them relaxed on the street. However, I've seen some government officials not leading by example either.
Mm-hmm,
and I think that's a problem because if you're going to mandate or to remind people of what to do, you cannot be seen at a press conference without. No, let me explain something. When you see a minister speaking to the press without the mask, that is acceptable because they're going to speak. So everybody else will put on their mask, including the media, and everybody behind the minister should. What we're seeing is the persons behind a government official with no mask or a mask on the chin or underneath the nose and is not being worn correctly. I've seen a picture on social media of the Tsar not wearing his mask and a doctor making a comment about that. And this, whether you are B or D, this is not a political issue. This is an issue for all Barbadians. I would like to live a little longer. I certainly would like my children to see a lot more. And I'm hoping that all Barbadians feel that way. Now, there are some people who believe that we're taking this overboard. And I've spoken to some people who don't really believe in the whole COVID thing and this conspiracy theory. People dying is enough for me. People who have core morbidities, which in Barbados, you know, we have a lot. And the mere fact that our population is 280, a little over, it means that it's not a lot of people. Now, that could work good for us, meaning that you don't have a lot of people to control. So you have a better grip on the virus spreading because you're not dealing with a million people. But on the flip side of this coin, all you need to do is mess up once. and it can take out about 30,000 of us. Easy. Now, I'm not about the putting fear out there. I'm about let us enjoy our lives. Let us create this new norm, enjoy it, but still adhere to the rules. What's so hard about that?
It's only yesterday I observed it, you know, that these drivers, I mean, all these vehicles are going towards the northern section of this country. No one had all masks, neither the conductor nor the driver. And I believe people in this country playing very careless with this virus. I mean, they forget the ordeal that we had to went through to get food from the supermarket. And the long lockdown this country went through, where people was almost under stress. And I find there seems to relax everything up and people doing as they please. And as I tell you, I don't think that we have gone clear this epidemic yet. Mm-hmm. And I will say to you, I know when. That's why I keep emphasizing on the word when it come again, because I know it will come again. We mm-hmm. would be hearing a lot of complaints. The mm-hmm. government will open this and government will open that.
What do you think about the government's protocols? Not about what people are not doing, but the government, the measures that they have put in place. Do you see that they need some tweaking, or you're happy with them?
Well, to be honest with you, I was happy with the protocol that they had in place when this thing first came about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they should tweet it. No, the only tweet I would like to see is the mandatory wearing of masks. I believe that's what I want to see.
What about quarantine? When you ask someone to self-quarantine,
I do not like the self-quarantine either.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we should have locations to quarantine these people for at least 14 days. I don't like the idea because some persons are not honest with their own self. I mean, we know when this thing first came up, people were on quarantine and they were still here, there, and everywhere, shopping and so on.
Mm-hmm. And hence the reason, you see, if you can control the quarantine, let's just say you put ankle monitors on or something, then there's no real need. Well, no, let me rephrase that. There's need for contact tracing, yes, but then it doesn't have to go that far and wide because you would have been able to control it somewhat.
Right, correct.
You know, so I am for the quarantine of persons coming in from any part of this country. Because as I said, this thing about low, medium and high, yes, but low risk does not mean no risk. And when they come in, 72 hours of getting a test prior, a lot could happen in 3 days. And if you're saying that it's, you know, you upload the test, you walk with your certificate, and once you have all of that, you can go through the doors and go about your business. If you come from a low, medium risk country, I am a little uncomfortable with that. I think that we should promote what the Prime Minister is promoting. I absolutely love the idea of remote, running your business remotely. We call it laptop living. So if you can bring your laptop and you own a business and you can then go to the supermarket and rent the villas and the cars, we will get some money from you because you're here for a whole year. Bring your family too. Okay. And the other thing, though, I don't want to stray from the topic. I saw something, I think it was MSNBC, and they were talking about taxes and they were throwing cold water on what our prime minister said. And I think that they did not understand what she was saying. She was not saying for companies to come and redomicile here, to come here to set up, to pay taxes. She's saying you can run your business from here. So you still continue to pay your taxes in New York, for example, or wherever in the world you have to pay them. So the only taxes you will get here is the same taxes that you and I get, where you got to pay VAT on your groceries and so on and so forth. So I think that was misunderstood. It was regrettable that the American news put that out there as they did, because that person, that reporter, that journalist was saying, oh, he passed, it's not for him. But he didn't understand what the prime minister was promoting. I like long stay visitors is something we can promote. Why can't hotels encourage people for the first 2 weeks, we'll reduce the rate if you take a holiday for 6 weeks so that at least you can enjoy 4 weeks and you get the regular rate. And 2 weeks of a reduced rate. There's so many things that we can come up with to bring them here, but make sure that we put the protocols in place to test them and to keep them quarantined, to monitor them properly. Don't leave it up to human beings to do stuff because a lot of people would not. That's why God put rules A man has their rules because they knew that people weren't going to follow all the time. So sometimes we have to mandate things. Final word, because we got to go on to the next caller.
I will close by saying this. I also been in two different establishments, and I observe now they had no sanitizing hands anymore. They relax that as well. So I think somebody needs to pay attention
to some of the security guards in some of these places and how they're doing the sanitizing. And we need to pay attention to what is inside of the bottles, because I've been getting some reports of some smaller places. It may not be hand sanitizer. Could it be? And people not sure what they're getting the hand sprayed with. I would encourage people to still walk with their... I walk with mine. So when I go to the gas station, he's about to spray my hand. I show him my bottle, and I spray my own hand.
But some players don't have that anymore at the door. So me, I was so surprised. I was looking to see some water come to me, but there's no one at all at doors to a establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, though.
Well, there are some reputable places in this country that need to, and I wouldn't obviously call the names, but the security aspect of the hand sanitizing, they need to double check. Thanks for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I ain't called to speak about the mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you see this thing with compulsory wearing of masks? We have to be very careful. Because you see you putting on a mask, are you wearing that daily? All them hours you have on a mask, it can be very dangerous to your health, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know where you're breathing in, are you and taking that there? That could damage your system. You understand? I understand it for protecting you, but you see this whole wearing of it so constantly? Are you walking all about and all sort of things you're picking up with that stinking dirty mask? And then you still... You know, people ain't taking it off because they say you ain't taking it off, you ain't catching the virus and thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to be very careful with it.
It would be good to hear from, and I heard this, it's like the maximum, I think, is 4 hours. But even that is subject to every individual, because there are some asthmatics out there. There are people who are very uncomfortable. I get that. So I think that all we have to do is try to be responsible. If you know you're going into a public place and you're spending 20 minutes, put on your mask. As soon as you come out and you're away from people, pull it down. When you get into your car, take it off. You know, so again, I don't think you're going to mandate that. But again, I don't think that they're going to, maybe I don't think they should mandate wearing of masks on the streets, as in you walking around and you're with your mom and your sister, and you're just walking together in the same household, you may feel comfortable wearing it as you walk on the sidewalk. But then what happens when you're walking and four or five people next to you and you sneeze and you have COVID and they don't have on a mask?
Right. You
just have to exercise some caution. There's no magic wand for this. There's nothing like that. But I think that we could do better from the policy level. We're here blaming Drake and why he's out and so on and so forth. But he could only be out there doing what he's doing if he was given the green light to do it.
Exactly.
You know, so we can't blame him and other persons who self-quarantine if they weren't ready right at and said, look, you cannot. Let's just say the laws were in place and said, if you leave home, there's a $500 up to $50,000 fine for you.
Yeah,
that's all they need to hear, you know. But you don't have that in place, so people sneak out. And about this thing about putting an app on a cell phone, I could borrow another cell phone if I really want to get out in the nighttime, and my sister lives there with me. I could say, "Lend me your cell phone," because they're tracking me on mine. So there are ways of people can get around that. I like the ankle monitors. I don't know how much they cost, but I feel that they need to be under some sort of home surveillance in that way. But that's just only my 2 cents, because coming to my house and giving me a fever check does not mean I have, you've determined I have COVID. It just means I don't have a fever, but I may be asymptomatic. But anyway.
I agree with you.
Your final word?
My next point is, I don't know, and I don't think you will travel the streets at night. You don't travel the streets at night, right? But I don't know if you saw the Facebook clipping with Natalie recently, saying that a politician promised her during the election that when he became in power,
I saw that
he was
yesterday.
Going to help her.
Yes,
you saw
I
it,
saw
right?
That. Yes, I saw that yesterday.
And everybody was commenting and commenting, saying, but why would he have to help her when she had a good job? what she did it, what she going back on the streets. You understand? Let me do something.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the streets over the weekend. And I'm sure you'll be amazed to see what happened on the streets. What happened on the streets now in double is triple. There are so many young girls on the streets now. Plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And one time you used to say, it was the foreigners, we call the St. Lucian, the Guyanese, I think. No. The Bajan girls rubbing shoulders again with them. And very young girls here. And let me tell you something. I saw one. I tell one, listen, you look so beautiful. Why will you be doing this? Any young man or fellow will come pick you up and will take you on. She said, let me tell you something. You don't understand what's going on, you know. When a minute, they got a lot of pretty talk. When they going to want, give me what you want. You see, a normal weekday,
mm-hmm.
I just make at least $200 a night. You see, from a Friday and Saturday, I get home $500 a night. And that's what I'm going here for. And I can tell you something. With that kind of money spinning around on the streets and things, so I understand what Natalie's saying, that she going to make a living. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you something. It's very, very rampant out there. And only the foreigners, the business girls taking over to here. Let me tell you something. I encourage nobody to go down there, but I think we need something to be done with these business ladies out there. I mean, all the ladies.
Well, then
here.
You have to give them some other option. Don't get me wrong. I certainly, you know, it's not for me. However, I'm not going to judge anybody. When I saw that video, you know, she has to do what she has to do. It's her life. And if people feel strongly about what she's doing, then I think they should step up and offer her a job. Otherwise, stay out of her business. It's as simple as that, you know. And that goes for any person who chooses a life, what I refer to as the oldest profession in the world.
Okay.
And for something that belongs to them a million times, because, you know, it's still theirs. At the end of the night or the weekend, they can go back out there again. I am not saying that it's the right thing to do. I'm saying those who are judging and on social media, for example, about what she's doing and others, kindly offer them a job. If it is that you feel so strongly about it, offer them a job.
A job, I agree with you.
Okay.
But Natalie Smart, Natalie knew that as a, that is an ad, that's a professional ad, that's an ad that she knew smartly.
Mm-hmm.
And people will know she's still working. So come on out. Anyhow, thank you very
much. Thank you so much for your contribution. 10:36, down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings to you, my dear.
And to you.
And to my fellow man.
And woman.
Two weeks ago, I was to come back to Ellis on the topic of the last days. But I didn't get back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What will happen after the last days? And I just want to start with the enemy. Death. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death will be no more. Neither crying, mourning, nor pain will be no more. Those things will be passed away. The question now remains. We got to ask ourselves some questions. Ask ourselves, not ask somebody. Do we want to live in those times? Do we want to share in that promise? We got to examine ourselves. Even I have to examine myself. I cannot examine you. So this is so searching questions we have to ask. And just as the caller before me was speaking about, you know, all of that will be gone because that is hardship and oppression and suffering that causes these young ladies to go on the streets. You know, the Bible says oppression will make the wise one act crazy. These are things that will be gone. And that is only one of the scriptures. Because there are many promises that will help identify what we will have in the last days that will be beneficial for us. And what I would like to say is, in order to enjoy that, John 17, chapter 3, verse 3 says, this means everlasting life. They're coming to know you. the only true God, and the one you sent forth, Jesus Christ. So actually, it would be an education, life-saving program. It's not something to, as I said before, to force you to do. But you need to do some soul searching. You know, there's all sorts of things that confront us, that can distract us. But the enemy doesn't want you or me or no one to live. And I'm going to conclude by saying, it's only yesterday evening, while listening to Larry Mayer's program, a lady called him and asked him to play a song by Edwin Yerwood because she lost someone close to her. These are the things we got to put up with, ma'am. And it hurts. So I just want to share that with our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let us think, you know, ask yourself, ma'am. Some people say, can't take this no more, you know. You know what I mean? Because it is just confusing, man. You know, every morning I get up, a lot of pressure on all the things. So do some soul searching, brothers and sisters. The book is not far from you, man. It's right in your hands. The Holy Bible. Thank you,
Thank you, ma'am. So much. This WhatsApper says, good morning, Joanne. I do not like the self-quarantine. I am very concerned about the last five persons who were tested negative, self-quarantined and then tested positive. They would have gone home and mingled with family members. Family members would have left home, et cetera, et cetera. This is a very serious issue and I'm very concerned. And this other WhatsApper here pertaining to the laptop living, we were talking about working in Barbados remotely. Ms. Haig, you can't blame CNBC, I said CMNBC, journalists for misunderstanding the work from Barbados for a year initiative. The government of Barbados is the one responsible for promoting an initiative internationally with little or no details of how it will work practically. The seeming absence of a clear strategy and an accommodative framework to attract foreign nationals to work remotely from Barbados leaves the initiative open to skepticism and speculation. I agree with you that it leaves it open, hence the reason I believe that the Prime Minister now has to make sure that she cleans up that any misunderstandings, but it was very clear. They totally misunderstood what the Prime Minister said as it relates to taxes. She wants them to come down here and have a holiday and enjoy life while at the same time working from your laptop for a period of 1 year and not have to worry too much about the hot spots and so on and so forth and put Barbados on the map as a place where we are at least maybe not COVID-free, but COVID-controlled. And in order for us to continue that level of control, I hope what I said earlier about the quarantine and the procedures is something that the SAR would respond to today, or at least they consider and listen to what the public is saying. They're uncomfortable, people are uncomfortable, and you need to listen to their concerns as you have been before. You need to continue to do that. Down to Brass Tacks, 10:45, you are on the air.
Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, good morning, Joanne. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. What about you?
I'm giving God thanks, girl.
Amen.
For every day. First of all, I just want to say that I really agree with almost everything that you have been saying from the time you opened the program this morning, whereas in to do with the issue with the young gentleman that is the rap mogul,
mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And it's not only, and also a guy that came on, the gentleman that came on after you started your speaking, dealing with one or two other issues, and the other guy with the ZR as well. Because it seems that no matter how you speak to these people about here in Barbados, they're just not listening. All right? You've heard the czar. You've heard all kind of people come on the programs, different media, and explain to the people that why there may be some kind of, just say it, curbing the threat of the COVID-19, why there may be that, still does not mean that you can just run about like happy-go-lucky. But people are not listening. So what people got to say, when you don't hear, you're going to feel. So, and this is going to be, unfortunately, the end result for a lot of them. Because like what the gentleman said, he's talking about only on the north. I can tell you not only north, all about the place. A lot of them, when they see particular officer, these guys that drive the van, what they pull up the mask, as I heard you mention it last week or sometime ago when you were on the radio, about the pulling up the mask, wearing the mask halfway underneath the nose and all that foolishness, or down by the chin, which is nonsense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and you and I, all we go all about, we see these things, and if you try to tell somebody, well, hey, look, that's not the right way, they're right to tell you something out of the worst way. Mm-hmm. So there you have.
If I may, for one sec, no, you say that so that I don't forget. I don't know if I mentioned it, and if I did, I want to mention it again.
Right.
People who behave in a way when you ask them to wear the mask properly. Again, three nurses in a gas station in St. Philip, the guard had to speak to them. And they were grouping, and I believe that they weren't adhering to the rules and standing where they were supposed to stand, etc.
Right.
And when the guard spoke to them, one nurse, and I quote, I came out from about here before I got to tell one, I wanted something. And behaved really bad, and she had on a nurse uniform. Now, I don't know which medical agency she's from, facility she's from, so I'm not saying it's from QEH. It could be a polyclinic, could be private nursing.
I'm
but
private, yeah.
It's three of them, and when we saw that, everybody in the gas station looked at each other to say, look, you guys should know better, because you know, only a couple of weeks ago, we were banging saucepans and everything for the nurses, and they deserve that. They've done well, and they continue to do well. So, you know, you have the handful of bad apples, but that handful of bad apples could make bad for everybody else. So continue, but I wanted to get that out, if I didn't before, to mention people who should know better, listening and leading by example are some of the ones that we are kind of disappointed in. Continue.
Thanks. So there you have it. That's another example. You have people in place that should know better when it comes to doing certain things that you would not expect them to do after the pretty talk a lot of them come and put down, and they still do it. A lot of people do things only when a CBC camera or a news reporter from VOB or something else or the papers are there, and then the lights are down, the camera and the reporter or whoever gone, the microphone move, they go back to their old way, who they really are. Those kind of people are just pretentious people. A lot of people do things in the moment, and then when the moment is done, you see them for who they really are. And, you know, and all of these things, even with the fact that you have this so-called home quarantine. That there is a whole issue in itself. Because in the first place, when I heard the czar and others talking about that people can home quarantine or what have you, I said to myself, but they should then know that you did it, and it's not only Belgians, it's people that were coming in. You think people even overseas, and overseas has more stricter restrictions, as you know, if you follow the news, local 10 or whatever news station you like, you know, and you see they have more stricter restrictions. Even in European countries, they got people that were doing as they like. And I remember there was a story in Vienna. Some people were out flying kite and doing that. And what did the governor of that town do? He come and charge each man 500 euros. 500 euros is a lot of money in Belgium, money as you would know, Joanne. And as you said a little while ago, perhaps, and I agree with your opinion because I've been saying it, a lot of people ain't going to like that, but perhaps if the government of the day was to do something like that, implement something, give them, strike some kind of fear, let them know, well, we are serious. You do what we tell you and not what you like. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if they were to do that, not only here but in the Caribbean, you understand, people would be, they would say, who, me? No, I don't want to pay that big money, blah, 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 blah. There'd be a thing like that. But because, for whatever reasons, they know that that will never happen in the Caribbean, because people look at the Caribbean as a relaxed, a lot of relaxed place. Everything's relaxed. People are a little laid back. And it's not only with this COVID-19 issue, John. You remember when they first talk about the seatbelts, the wearing the mandatory thing to wear the seatbelt, not you get charged for this, or got a phone, you in the car up on the phone or whatever. You remember all of that? Everybody started out, just how they started with the COVID-19, wearing the mask, blah, 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 blah. They started out good when it first started. Everything's when it first started.
I disagree but about the phones. Maybe they've slackened up, but the seatbelts are pretty much... Well, not as much as the phones.
Yes, I'm telling you, John.
I see a lot of people wear the seatbelts. A lot. John, but I also see a lot of people on their phones still.
Yeah, and it's both ways, John. The whole point is that a lot of people vote here, right? Because certain things are, they may sound serious in the news or on paper, but in practicality, people just in their own mindset, because you see, Barbadians have been inculcated in some kind of inner mindset that if you come to tell me, just to use an example, if you can tell me no, I can take your no as a yes, no matter how you put it or how you say it. I can, in my mind, because I'm so accustomed to you no being a yes or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to take it home now because I have a full board.
Yeah. No, no problem. So, but on what the caller after you said, I totally agree that instead of bringing it, we have people here that are intelligent and are resourceful. And the government of the day needs to look at that more strongly and deal with humdrum beats first. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Down to Brass Tacks, you are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Haig.
Good morning.
And good morning to listeners too. Miss Haig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not the Belgians that bring in this virus, it's the overseas people that bring it in, right? Mr. Cash.
Hold on a minute. What do you mean it's not the Belgians but the overseas
Belgians people? That living in Barbados is not bringing in the virus. I mean that living here.
Well, if
no.
you live here, then you can't bring in anything because technically you're here. So you mean...
But let me talk, please.
No, but I tried to understand. You're talking to me and you're talking to Barbadians. So I just wanted to understand when you said it ain't Bajans who bringing it in.
The Bajans that living in Barbados.
Correct. Well, you can't bring in if you're already here. So you mean...
It's obvious. But I was saying overseas visitors that will be bringing it in.
Who may be Barbadians as well?
Okay,
that's what I'm trying to tell you. Exactly. All
okay.
right.
Mm-hmm. Belgians that live overseas and who outside that bring it in, that overseas in the hot spots.
Imports.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Carter telling us to wear a mask to social distancing. You say that you cannot blame Dread. So why Dread did not wear a mask in the group? Why he got the guys hug up? Them get all the protocol about social distancing. He could have told the young people that he don't put the hands around, you know, around him.
This is undecided, right? Miss Undecided?
Yes.
I would say the same way how we don't know if the protocols were shared with him in that regard with the mask. I don't know. Did someone say to him, Mr. Drake, sir, you know, when you're going out, you need to wear a mask. You need to be 3 feet apart. I don't know. I would like to think that happened, but then again, look at the young men around him too.
But Miss Hayes,
the locals
that is outside, the tell them outside overseas wear a mask. He mean go on blink because he can't see that people wear masks when they're going out and social distancing. He knew all of that before, so don't make no excuses for Drake.
No, but you got. I don't know what are the rules in Canada. I don't know if I believe. Well, I have some Canadian friends that listen to this show. Maybe they can tell us. I believe it's the same thing going into stores. You must wear your mask. I believe it's the same thing in most places. I don't think too many people relax the mask wearing when you go into a bank, for example, or, you know, the schools, things like that that reopen. I believe that you have to have some level of protection. Again, my Canadian friends, you're listening, message me and let me know what the protocols are in Canada in relation to what it is in Barbados. But I believe you're right, they might be the same.
In Barbados, everywhere you go, they tell you wear a mask. It all written up all on the internet, wear your mask, social distancing. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to wear on Canadians to tell you that. And he know the, what he ain't read the notes when he coming to Barbados. They tell him.
This is what I'm asking too. If the, don't blame him. If it is that he it was told, but then he didn't adhere, well, then that's different. I don't know.
He has to be blamed. He know the calls, Mr. Haig. Ms.
Haig? I don't know if we could say that we could. We have to look at it both ways. The government carrying some responsibility here because they set the policy. And if it was the right policy to let persons on flights coming from low, middle risk areas, if the policy is one that needs to be reviewed. That's where I'm looking at.
He was on lockdown, Ms. Haig, he was on curfew lockdown. So don't tell me that he know all the messages that come on the radio, on the TV over there. He doesn't know everything that went on.
Can I ask you then something?
Then should be looking at the
So what about the ones, what about the guys around him?
Pardon?
What about the guys around him, the Bajans that were around him?
They should have on a mask too, but he should have done all them. He should have on his mask. And telling them he can't take no picture. Then he ordered on them. But me say, look, if we know the bear, just have to keep the eyes on the visitors that come in. We don't want the country to close down again. So we have to keep an eye on the visitors that come in and monitor them. And I thought that the home quarantine finished. I may see hear it wrong. I swear here, Mr. Carter said that they may find a place where people come in and put them into quarantine.
There were different options quarantine. I saw with hotels and places you can go if you choose to pay for the hotels. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's Paragon where you don't have to pay. Mm-hmm. And there are options out there. But again, my concern, which I believe is yours, mm-hmm. and a lot of people based on what we're getting here on the WhatsApps, mm-hmm. we're concerned about the procedure, the protocols. I'm not blaming Drake. Maybe you can. I respect your view. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking in a broader way, mm-hmm. what was communicated mm-hmm. to all those people on that airplane? Because they didn't come on Air Canada. They came on a private jet. If it is...
Right. On the private jet.
But we were told that whatever was communicated to the passengers on Air Canada mm-hmm. is the same thing on the private jet. Now, that scared me even more because that means everybody out in terms of who came in on the Canadian flight. Now, all I'm saying is mm-hmm. the temperature checks that you're saying that will happen. Mm-hmm. These people on these flights doesn't appear, and please correct me, Czar, if I am wrong. It does not appear that those coming from the low to medium risk countries will get a second test here. The ones that on the repatriation flight, because they came from the high-risk areas, were supposed to quarantine. They got a test when they came, quarantine, mm-hmm. and then get the second test. But it doesn't. That rule apparently does not apply to the low, medium-risk countries coming in, which in this case, Canada is one. Which, by the way, Canada is number 20 on the list of COVID cases, number 20, U.S. being number one. And when you look at this, it's 100 and something countries. So I am not sure how Canada becomes this low, medium risk. And I could check it today, but yesterday they were at number 20.
But Mr. Hill, this confusion, though, low risk, you could get that on the plane. You could be saying, no, that's about the infected us.
But Ms. Undecided, can we agree on one thing? We want to feel normal again, true?
Pardon me?
Everybody wants to feel normal again, true?
Yes.
But we recognize that we can't. We recognize that we need tourists. We need our Barbadian brothers and sisters that want to come back home because they live here. We want them to come back. You would agree with that?
Yes, we want tourism to thrive again,
true?
They have to follow the protocol.
Right. So all we're saying, And all you were saying, I believe, and if you could correct me too if I'm wrong, we want, or we are happy with our borders being open. We are happy with people coming and enjoying our country. I don't think that's the issue for anybody. I think it is protect us, protect them a little bit more by looking at your protocols and seeing how we can reduce the spread by controlling the quarantine of individuals and making sure that you tweak that a bit, because you, when at 1 o'clock in the morning a male or a female decides that they want to go out, they're going out. But and then all of a sudden we can hear, well, you know, we're aggressively contact tracing for A, B, and C. Wait, A, B, and C should not have been out. Furthermore, your family members should not be coming over to your house having Sunday lunch. They can visit you, but at the door for the 2 weeks. I don't get why people don't fully understand. Not you and a lot of people, but there's some who are pushing back on this.
But Ms. Head, you know, like in Trinidad, Mr. Prime Minister Rogley, when, you know, when they're coming back into his country, returning, he's put them in a facility. Why do they have to go and quarantine them? They know that they had hours before.
Let me just read quarantine. This WhatsApp to you now that you're before you go, and then we can take these calls because the board is lit up. Joanne just cut it.
No, not to you.
They just said, Joanne just cut it out. You are not making much sense. Accept it's a celebrity privilege and treatment for Drake. That is what they're saying. That they saw it as, again, I'm going by what was communicated to the public. It said everything that was communicated and allowed for the private jet was the same thing for the passengers of Air Canada. My thing is that I'm a little surprised that everybody got a free pass to go out. Whether it was Drake or not, I don't think it was because it was celebrity if everybody else went out. But again, this person is entitled to their opinion, and I'm entitled to mine as you. And I'll give you the final word, ma'am.
Yeah, Miss Hale, money talk, but we are wanting the Lord Day people in Barbados, though. Anyhow, have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Always enjoy your contribution.